Liv, bless you.
Thank you. Good morning, church. And happy birthday. I don't know about you, but one thing that I always do on birthdays is that I pull out my camera roll, my photos, when it's one of my friends or family members' birthdays, and I start scrolling to find the most embarrassing photo that I can, or anything from our history that can represent our friendship, and I can maybe post or send to them for their birthday. And so I thought I'd do the same today. Discover Church's birthday. Here is one from the archives. This is actually the very first church service, so I'm told. So I'm wrong, apparently. One of the very first church services of our church. And Pastor Caleb is there somewhere as a little child. His parents are there. I don't know if you can recognize anyone through those hairstyles, but I say bring it back. What do we reckon, Discover Church? Bring back the 80s? This is the 80s, right? Yeah, bring back the 80s. I clearly wasn't there. This morning, I just want to start. I think it's really important that we just really honour where we've come from and recognise that. And I just actually wanted to ask Pastor Caleb if you could stand up. And if anyone asks, if you've been here since the early days of the church as well, if you could also just stand up as well. There's just a long history in this place, and I haven't been here for very long. Some of you haven't been here for very long, but I just wanted to honour these people who have faithfully served and been here and led the church and prayed for the church and brought their kids and grandkids and many more generations to come. So if we can just give them a little round of applause as we start the service this morning. I hope that that will be all of us in another 10 years' time to be able to stand up and say that we've been here and remained, because I think it's a beautiful part of church life. So as Caleb mentioned, today is our third week in our vision series. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at our church mission, our vision, and our values. And this little triangle here maps it all out for us beautifully. So our mission as a church is to pray, to grow, and to reach. Our vision is to, you can see in the middle of the triangle there, to reach the 500,000 people in the Casey Frankston area. And then around the outside there are our values as a church. Every organization, every business, every individual has values, and so we are the same. And today I'm going to be sharing a little bit about the engagement value as well as the next generation value. We've also answered the question, why does Discover Church exist? We've been here 39 years now. Why do we exist? You can see it on the screen. We exist for them, the 500,000. We're one of the only organizations that exists for the people that aren't here and looks for people that aren't here, aren't members of this place. We exist for them because Jesus said to go. This was his mission. He said, go make disciples of all nations. When he was with his disciples, he helped train them and show them how they could also go. He sent them to households and to peoples who are open to hearing the message of the kingdom of God. And this is the same instruction that we have as modern believers. But clearly, there's a lot more than just going. We're all here, right? There's a lot more you saw in the triangle to our vision, our mission. We have values that suggest that there's something here that's important, something we're doing here that is valuable. But if we exist for them, then what's the point of here? And this is the question that I want to help answer this morning. What are we doing here? What is the point of 39 years plus of Discover Church? You know, I wasn't here in those early days. I've been here since 2019. There's a photo up here of when I first came. I moved from country Victoria to Frankston, of all places. I joined in with a full-time training program that was running at the church at the time, and I never left. My husband's actually up there as well, and if you can see, Jack, I look the same. I don't know why I haven't changed for like 18 years. There's a few other people that are still here. Where's Kyle? Why don't you stand up, Kyle? He's still here, serves on our worship team. His brother's there. We have Karen, who serves at the back in the kids' church as well. This is my first year here, and by the end of my first year at Discover, I knew that I loved the church. Like, genuinely loved the church. This church helped embrace me when I was at my worst and gave me unconditional love that I've never known anywhere else. This church helped me to form my own personal relationship with God for the very first time, probably at 18 years old. I found so much joy in being part of this church community, so much joy that I even decided 4 years after this to get married here. This is Jack and I, can you believe it, up on the stage, transformed. I hope no one's offended by the kiss, by the way. We loved it so much that we got married here. We met here, and this church has so much meaning for us. About 80% probably of the guests at our wedding were church friends, and we invited our youth group and their families to come along as well. This is how much we really loved the church community and love it. From the beginning of my time here, which has almost been 10 years now, I've always served. I think I've been on almost every team that we run, except for the production, because I'm way too plebby for the science of that. But I've always engaged, I've always listened, I've always been mentored, I've always given my money, I've always been a part of everything going on, I've always said yes to any campaigns or events that are happening. And I never did that as a stepping stone to get to where I am. This was never on my radar to be a leader and now a pastor speaking in front of you here today. I wasn't some epic, mature 18-year-old that was happy to serve and do everything. I didn't not have any other hobbies or another life going on, so I could just spend all my time here. But essentially, this is what every believer is called to do. Why is it that we gather as a community of believers? Besides the church being a nice rhythm, a great place to stop and slow, as Caleb said this morning, a place where we find God, form our relationship with Him, because there's nice people here with good, godly values. Besides all of these things, we come and join in a church community because engagement fuels the mission and multiplies the next generation. Very simply, if I use the words of our mission statement, how do we reach if we're not growing? How do we go if we're not being formed as individuals? And how do we grow if we're not praying? If we're not in a community with models and influences, how will we also then prepare our next generation to also do these things and do the same? We value the next generation in this church because the natural bend of life is always towards adults. Adults just have their lives a little bit more together, they're more independent, they can drive, they have money, but we bend towards the next generation, our young people who are learning, who maybe don't have a voice, who need a lot of help as they grow, like I did as a young person. So we bend towards them, and we're going to come back to them a little bit later this morning. I have lots of stories that I want to share with you. But if you've chosen that Discover Church is the local church that you want to attend and bring your families to, and I know and I understand that many of you are guests here today, many of you visitors for the first time. This is not quite on your radar yet. But if it is, and if any church community is on your radar, then first of all, growing together and engaging in a community and in the life of a church is essential. Engagement fuels the mission of Jesus. Amen? Amen. God's strategy for reaching the world starts with an engaged, spirit-filled community. And we see this in the story of the early church. We're going to read together the end of the Acts 2. It says, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple, like a church, each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know what we see here in the first church community? We see pray, they gathered, they worshiped together. We see them growing. Again, they gathered, they came together as in fellowship. And they're reaching. Many were added. many were added to their fellowship. They would have gone out onto the streets. I think in these days, many of them even lived together and invited lots of people into their home. You can see them sharing their possessions and money and eating meals with one another. Pray, grow, and reach is there in the very first community. What did people do after they were saved? Well, they immediately came into a community. They immediately engaged in these meals. They met in homes. They gave away their money. So they go out with a mission mindset, as we've heard about the last few weeks. But a very key recurring theme in the early church is that they gathered. They gathered in community. They worshiped together in the temple. The church is the instrument through which Christ works. Community engagement preceded anything else. And the Apostle Paul, we're going to spend a bit of time on this analogy today. Apostle Paul refers to this, the church community, as the body of Christ. Can everyone say the body of Christ? Now, I was preparing this week and I was like, man, this analogy of a body is just so simple. It's too simple almost. I was like, I don't have enough to say. I don't have enough metaphors this time. This sermon's not going to make sense to anyone, but it's going to make sense, okay? This analogy is so simple, and I think Apostle Paul made it so easy for us and simple for us to understand what the church community was all about. In one of his letters to Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. Think about your body for a second. You've got your eyes, your feet, your muscles, your hips, you've got hands. The Olympians, if anyone's watching the Winter Olympics has just started, they have muscles for days. There's diversity, different functions of our body. There's no accidental attribute that our body is made up of different parts, but it's of our body's very essence. You see how simple it is? It makes sense. And Paul says, so it is with the body of Christ. He says, some of us are Jew. These were considered the insiders, the religious, those that have been here forever. Some are Gentiles, outsiders, not religious, those that we want to reach, those who come into the church and maybe are newly saved. He says some are slaves and some are free. So he picks up on the diverse racial and social background that would have been operating at the time. Much like this church community, with many different ages, many different stages of life, many differences, backgrounds of Christianity, countries represented here. Paul goes on and says, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. We have differences, but we're able to function, and our aim is to function as one community. So the spiritual realities, one Spirit, this is what supersedes, it unites us as a church, it aligns us into this one community. The community is the body of Christ. Not just Discover Church, I'm not just talking about our church today, but this is all believers. The body of Christ refers to all believers. And we here are just one group, like the Corinthians that Paul wrote the letter to, or like the Ephesians, of which he also uses this metaphor of the body, and we're going to read this together this morning. In Ephesians 4, he says, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come into such unity in faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit perfectly together. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Hands up if you can understand this analogy this morning. The church is the body of Christ. Like a body, the church community isn't designed to be a crowd just gathered, sedentary. Who knows that when you're sedentary, it's not very good for your body. We're not sedentary around Jesus or around a teaching, but we're moving, we're active, we're maturing. This is a body that is directed by Christ. We're going to have a look at the three different parts in the scripture. Christ the head, one body, and then the different parts that we make up in the body of Christ. So first of all, Christ is the head of the body. We understand that our body wouldn't work very well without our mind, don't we? Without our human brain, if something's not done right properly up there, if you've had a surgery maybe and something's changed, they've had to shift, rewire your brain, things don't work as well. Our brain is what signals that there's pain when you touch the stove that was left on overnight, and your brain signals that you should take your hand off, otherwise you're going to go to hospital with a third degree burn. The brain signals our smells, our sight, it helps us to move, it coordinates our body. The head is very important for the human. In our modern world, we also know that there's heads of organizations. You might have a boss, there might be an owner or a manager in a school system, there's a principal, and then there's the school, right? My boss is here today. I didn't know they were coming today, so I won't say anything bad about my head of my organization. But this concept of head is very familiar. Our church is directed by Christ. This is our head of our organization, believers of Jesus. Christ is the head of the body. Can you imagine a workplace, not mine, where the boss isn't functioning properly, isn't training the team or good at making decisions? Without the head, the body doesn't not just grow or function properly, but it doesn't grow at all. It's not able to operate at all. There's nothing coming from the top down to instruct us on where to go, on how to grow, on what to do. Without the head, we can't grow at all. From Christ alone, we derive our capacity for growth and for activity and for functioning as one coordinated entity. It's Christ that matures us. It's Christ that protects us from the lies of new teaching, the cultural trends that continue to come out. It's Christ that gives us clarity on our growth, our direction. We're growing in every way more and more like Christ. Thank goodness we have the model of Christ that shows us how to live. Amen? Thank goodness we have the Word of God that when we're stuck and we don't know what to do, we can just look back on the Scriptures and be reminded on how we can live. Thank goodness we have access to God and we can pray and He loves us and He shows us that He cares for us and He wants to have a relationship with us so that we never have to try and figure anything out on our own. Thank goodness that Christ is the one that operates as the head of our life, the head of our body. The gospel, the good news, is that Christ is in charge. Jesus is in charge, and we don't have to rely on ourselves anymore. Through Him, we're forgiven, we're brought into a relationship with our Creator God, we're empowered to live the life that He called us into and be the people of God that God created us to be. Christ is before all things, and in Him, all things are held together. How do we stay connected and grow into Christ? Well, let's keep with the simple theme, right? We can stay connected to Christ. The best way is through prayer. This is a conversation with God, creating space for God, talking to God, bringing our needs and our concerns and our frustration before God. We're going to spend some time at the end of today's service praying together. I've got three prayer points that will help guide you. Ellen White, who's an American author in the 20th century, wrote that prayer does not bring God down to us, but it brings us up to God, Christ the head. Prayer is the means by which we, the body, together and in our individual lives, stay connected to Jesus. If Christ is the head, then therefore we operate as one body. Everyone say one body. Verse 16, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Just as a body has many parts, so too does the church have many functions that work together. And I don't know if you remember back to the start of the scripture, but it talked about the gifts in the church. It talked about there's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. We read in the scripture this morning, Jesus is the shepherd. I'm not going to go into these gifts, but if you would like to, if you're in a life group, discuss these further. There is a slide that you can go over. But very importantly, these gifts are not vocations. These gifts are not, it's not a title. It's not me up here as Pastor Olivia. It's not the roaming prophet from America or some evangelist that you see on YouTube. If you remember the organization of the body, right? We're getting it. Christ is the head, and then we are one body. It's not Christ is the head, and then there's some spiritual elitism that operates as the shoulders that is connected to God, and then it's everyone else. Christ is the head, and then we operate together as one body. And so because of this, it's our role to build up the church. Whose role? Our role. Every believer builds up the church, which means these gifts that Christ has given to the church, Jesus operates in all of these gifts, but he also allows us and matures us to operate in these as well. And maybe if you're having a quick look at the screen, there might be some graces or giftings that you feel on your life, because there's different graces on every one of our lives. And you know what that means? It means that every follower of Jesus has a work of ministry, a task or a function in the body of Christ in order for the body to fit and work perfectly together. These gifts belong to the whole body, and it's our job to mature as believers to see where God is taking us, calling us, how he can use us, and then to start to operate into this. If we think back to where we started this morning with our vision to reach the 500,000 in the local area, how are we going to do this? How on earth are we going to get here? I can tell you that it's not going to be the pastors. I can tell you it's not just going to be because a few people like Amy want to put her hand up and run the kids' church. It's not going to be by us just gathering and being here. God equips every one of us. The gifts belong to the whole body of Christ. And what we see is like Jesus's apostles who were not trained, in theology. They were uneducated. They were just common, ordinary men and women. But God equipped them. And God does the same for us. He equips ordinary believers. You don't have to have been here for long. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to feel like you even understand properly where you're going or what your gifting is. I know I certainly still feel like God's got so much more to reveal in my life. But God equips ordinary believers to fulfill the vision. He equips us all for the work of the mission. And a beautiful place that you can do this and learn to do this is through engagement in a church community. A church community will help build you up, will help mentor you. There's people here who have gone before you. Many people have gone before and mentored me and helped me and Jack as well. One of the problems in the modern church is that too few people function in their work of ministry. Some people don't even know what role they've been called to play. And from some quick research, I just found two little reasons that might help explain this. Why does our church body not all operate in our function that God has gifted us with? The first one, possibly, is a fault of the modern church structure. If you think about the way church works, there usually is someone up the front here. There is key leaders. We do need people to run stuff. We do need Caleb to be the senior minister for the last 15 years to help generate ideas and help run these services. This is important, but this can be a limitation and an explanation of why we as the body of Christ don't always function the way that God has called us to do. The second is possibly because of our culture of consumerism in the Western world. By this, it's a lot easier and natural for us to take, to observe, to applaud, to cheer on others, but just be happy to just sit, consume, enjoy. This is part of our culture. And these are things that we have to actively fight against because these trends leave us sedentary. These trends are not going to help you to discover your calling and your function in the body of Christ. They're not going to help you discover what it is that God is asking of you, even outside these walls as well, how you can engage in the mission. We have to fight against these trends. You have to do this. I have to do this. Caleb has to do this to actively participate and keep on functioning as a moving body. And the reason for this is because the body is one. Therefore, we all have our role. As we all have our role and operate in our role, therefore, the body grows. Every part of the body of Christ needs to be at work. As every part works, so the body grows. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow. So the body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Who heard Amy say growth in the kids' church? There's growth in numbers, but there's also growth in our young people's lives, following Jesus, taking initiative. We have got youth serving out the back there as well. They want to grow. They want to be trained. As each part does its work, so the body is able to grow healthily. We need each other. You and me. You and you. Everyone, we need each other. I needed help as a young person. When Jack and I got into a relationship, we didn't know what we were doing. We wanted to have a good, godly relationship, so we got some help. We got mentoring. I needed help. As a youth pastor, I need a team. I need people who want to give up their Friday nights every single week and come out and serve and train our next generation. I need parents to be on board with what we're doing out there and drive their kids and pick up their kids and come and cook for us occasionally. And I need teenagers that want to come and be a part of it. I need this to happen to be able to function in the role that God has given me and the gifting that I feel He's given me. Teenagers need peers. They need friends, people that are on the same journey as them. Not always adults. They need people that understand where they're coming from, that understand what year 11 is like when you move to a new school, that understand the concerns and the struggles that a young person has with their parents and with older people and with social media. Teenagers need peers. Teenagers benefit also from mentoring. This is one of the best things for a young person's growth, is that they have someone in their life that they can look up to. We need older generations. We need the wisdom, the resources, the skills, and older generations need younger generations. The energy, the passion, the innocence, we need each other. As we work together, what we're building here is so incredibly special. And engagement here in the body of Christ is what creates space for us to grow so that we might be able to go and do the mission of God and fulfill the mission of God. When this happens, when this body is operating, healthy, functioning, this metaphor becomes a reality in our lives, a natural effect of this is that we multiply the next generation. The impact of operating as the body of Christ is not just on us, me maturing, you maturing, us as a body. It's not just on the unsaved, the people that we want to reach, but it's also on the younger generations that are sitting here in the front row, that come out the back to the party in the kids' church, come out on a Friday that you, many of you parent and grandparents too. This is what happens. Let me tell you some stories. We have, in our church community, we have Valen, who you met on stage today, who's 16 years old. He's heading into year 11 this year. He's been part of our youth program since year 7. And before that, our kids' church. Today, he's singing with the band. Not today, but he's on the band. He serves on the coffee team. Valen didn't decide as an 8-year-old to just come and attend the church on his own. But he's here because his mum and his grandparents faithfully followed God for decades before him. This family has 3 generations across both sides of the family in this church. They're actively involved in the life of the church. And there's a clear picture of faith here, that the faith is lived, it's passed on, and as a result, generationally, we're multiplying. Let me tell you about Leilani, who's a 14-year-old girl. She actually did wake up as a young girl and decide there must be more to life than this. She was going through some difficult things in her family and her personal life. And so on her own, she started exploring faith. She started reading a Bible as a 10-year-old girl. She started reading blogs and trying to understand Christ for nearly 3 years on her own, which is just incredible. But as she got a little bit older, her mum started to realize that maybe Leilani was onto something. And maybe she needed some support to be able to continue to find the hope that she was seeing change in Leilani's heart. Hope started to emerge. She was getting better with friendships. And so her mum, Tara, started searching for local churches. She found Discover Church. They're just down the road, right near where I live. And that she brought not just Leilani, but she brought her whole family along. As a result, Leilani was able to ask questions, get her questions answered, and take steps forward in her faith, like she just got baptized at the end of last year. Not only Leilani has been impacted, but her two younger sisters are also engaged in the kids' church. Her mom and her stepdad are on their own faith journey and actively participate in church life. This is how one young person's search and engagement has impacted an entire family. Let me tell you about Thomas, who's 12 years old. His family's always been connected to this body. Even while they moved away and lived in the city, they moved back to this area about 3 years ago with the intention to really re-engage and serve in our local church community. His dad, Mark, was up here this morning with the broken arm, shoulder surgery. His parents are actively involved not only in this church community, but also have a heart for the local community out there. They are ones that do go very naturally. And they're not just doing that, but they're actually teaching their children how to do the same. And as a result of this, what we see is that Thomas has come into the youth group, and he's not interested in just himself being there, but he's already inviting friends. He's seeking for other people to come in as well. His friends in his football club, in his school that he's constantly inviting to come and be a part of. He's creative in thinking about how to outreach and also making his own personal decisions of faith. He has a generational model to follow, and it's shaping the way that he lives. Can you see? One more story for you. One of our young adults, Callan, 20 years old, he actually came to this church about 2 years ago when many of us were praying for young adults to come in. It felt like there was a bit of a gap in the church community. We were praying that God would bring in people who were searching for God, that we'd be able to help them in their own relationship. Callan, who lived just around the corner, Googled local churches and found Discover. He came in really curious and full of questions. And so he spent a lot of time with people who were already here. My husband Jack has really helped Callan mentor him and walked with him in some of his journey. Callan was baptized. He joined a life group, but he didn't stop there. In 2 years, Callan now is a key youth leader. He's raising our year sevens and running their life group. And he's also mentoring another young adult to also do the same. And if you ask him why, he'll tell you that it's not because he has training or he's some mature, epic 20-year-old, but he'll tell you that it's because he wants others to experience the same thing that he experienced, the same support and the growth that he received by being a part of the body of Christ. This is another example of multiplication. Engagement in the church community, multiplying, fueling the mission, and multiplying the next generation. There's many more examples of this, and I'm sure as you engage in the church, you have your own stories, your own testimonies for yourself, your friends, your kids. What we do here impresses on people. It impresses on our next generation, our young people, how they can follow God, how they can worship in the presence of God, how they can pray like we're going to pray at the end of the service today. It impresses on them. And we all want young people to find God, amen? We all want them to find God. We all want seekers and unsaved to be able to meet the presence of God and have their lives changed forever. But all of these things wouldn't work if we weren't operating as the body of Christ. It wouldn't work if there wasn't someone to say hello at the door, to meet them, maybe grab some details, to follow up if someone suggested they wanted to take a next step in their faith and maybe that was baptism. It wouldn't work without a youth group or a kids' church. It wouldn't work without volunteers, ordinary people, you and me, busy parents with busy lives, prioritizing the things of God, taking responsibility, functioning, playing our part, working as the body of Christ. This is not a service team plug, just by the way, but this is evidence here